Welcome to Organize Anything with Colette Robichaud on 105.9 Seaside FM.
Good morning and welcome to the Organize Anything show. My name is Laura and we are speaking with Colette Robichaud, the organizing coach. Today we're going to be talking about quiet workspaces and why they're important. I know that whether you work at home or in an office, trying to find a quiet place to work can be a challenge. So I'm really excited to talk to you today about that, Colette.
Yes, and it's hard to, in the society we're living in today, it is hard to find quiet. And again, I'm delighted to have this conversation today and talk a little bit about it because we're, you know, we all try to get things done in our life. We're trying to de-stress and do more. And I think it's one of those things we forget. You know, we're very visual people, but I think we're forgetting some of this stuff that creeps up with us. You know, the old days I remember in school talking about noise pollution. You don't quite hear that term anymore, but you know, we'll have a little conversation today and see what some of that stuff looks like.
Absolutely. So I know that my generation grew up with all sorts of influences. I can write, I felt like in university I could write an essay with music playing and a movie going and feel like I was doing my best work. But you know, we know now that that's not the case. So why is it important to find quiet places to focus and work on what you're doing right at the moment?
Well, one of the reasons is to find them because they used to occur naturally and now they don't. So now we have to be more intentional in doing that. And often, you know, we come from this lifestyle of busy. I try not to use the B word, but we're so busy. And usually busy means there's input, whether it's, you know, our electronic input or even just for most of us, we're living in these areas with lots of background noise from, you know, construction or traffic or, you know, all of those sort of things. So, you know, the old days you could just get away from it. So it's more important for us to intentionally find that quiet. So it's sort of external quiet will allow us to have sometimes that internal quiet.
Mm-hmm. And say you're working in an office scenario and, you know, you've got the open concept. So people are chattering on their phones. There's phones ringing. Clients are coming and going. And you've got a big presentation. What's the office etiquette? Like, is there an etiquette to say, hey, I need some quiet, guys?
Yeah, and everyone needs it a little bit differently. You know, we all are individuals. And again, I know personally, I'm quite distracted by background noise when I have to focus and where other people sometimes can push it away and it allows them to hyper-focus. And that can be a misconception. I do some ADHD coaching and for sometimes my clients can go and work in a shop, in a coffee shop, and they're actually pushing the background noise away and allows them to hyper-focus. But for a lot of us, quiet does work well. For some of my clients with ADHD, if they're told to go work in their room in silence, they're not focusing because they're just hearing the clock ticking or maybe a rain dripping outside. So again, know ourselves. Do we have any learning differences? Are there any challenges that go with that? Know what those are. And we always want to set an environment for success. But we have trends in the office. You know, we went from offices with doors and things like that to open plans and cubicles and pods and things like that. And, you know, now we're moving to sort of nap rooms and quiet rooms and extra offices where you can work. So know how you work best and know yourself what that looks like if you have to make arrangements to work in a more quiet setting.
Okay. And, we hear that as people are kind of finding how they work, that sometimes it clashes with people that they're working with. And is there a way to kind of, you know, to approach that with a coworker? Say you have a coworker who likes to listen to their radio and refuses to put in a set of headphones, and that's really distracting. How do you approach them and say, you know, hey, that doesn't work for me?
Well, you have to really look at the culture in an organization as well. And if the culture that you are joining, you know it's going to be open and going to be like that, maybe it isn't a fit for you. I mean, we think about lots of fit of, is the salary a fit or things like that. But culture includes, is it a noisy, outgoing, or gregarious? Can anyone arrive at your door at any time? But you can also set some boundaries as well, or you can ask gracefully, use some of your communication skills. There, a bit of the etiquette and civility is leaving us a little bit. You know, people are in personal spaces, you know, a little bit more and all that sort of thing. And, you know, the videos are popping up, the lunch break, you're on lunch, but the other person isn't and they're still working. So these are things that we want to consider, you know, how are we using those etiquette to think of someone else? It could be chomping away at your desk, you know, and chewing gum. It's so many things that we have lost that sensitivity to sort of other people. I find it even distracting if I'm, you know, waiting for a bus and someone's headphones, I hear it, you know, hear it next to me, and it's sort of, you know, getting into my space.
Yeah, I hate that. It's like you almost want to say to them, hey, just turn it up so I can hear the words, or turn it down so I can't hear it at all.
Yeah. And we know that high levels of noise affect humans, you know, sort of differently. So, you know, if that song was something that you really liked, maybe you'd be grooving along with it. But, you know, so the difference might be for an 18-year-old grooving and, you know, someone a little older might be feeling stress and annoyed. And we know, you know, that people can, you know, have more antisocial behaviors if they're in an environment with a lot of noise. We know it affects you cardiovascularly. We know that there are more workplace accidents. We know that it can cause some aggression and things like that. So, you know, there are some research sort of that's coming up with that. And these are the things, like, where do you get away from noise? I know when I go to visit my mom and spend the night, it's like almost the silence is so odd, you forget. And when I come back from traveling to, you know, cities with millions and millions of people, you're forgetting that dull noise that goes in the background. And I was just reading some research this morning that about how calming and how new research is showing that nature really allows you to focus better. So, you know, a lot of people think about taking that break and listening to some music before some things, but to actually go for a walk in nature and that, you know, looking at animals and trees and things like that will allow you to focus and maybe perform better not only at work, but on exams and things like that. So, again, conversations like this and some of the research will allow us to perform better. And, you know, the other side of that is thinking about, you know, we didn't even talk about that, what's going on with people's hearing impairment and things like that, too.
Absolutely. And I imagine then, you know, trying to focus, you know, so you have the pressure, like the professional pressure, and then you have audio and actually, like, dealing with that in a noisy environment. Do you have any ideas, maybe noise pollution canceling products you like to use, or anything that you like to use that kind of helps you kind of block everything out?
Yeah, and sometimes there are, like, sort of sound machines that you can get that have that white noise. I've heard, they say white noise. I've heard, some of the ones I've heard, it doesn't sound like white noise. It sounds, some of them aren't so good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. They sound kind of funny.
It's like, oh, is that a wave? Like, that sounds like someone crinkling paper or something. So, you know, sometimes the quality of those and how they're sold. So make sure you're checking that out. I often find, for me, I just love some of those sort of Solitudes old CDs that you're, you know, you can pick up at anywhere, you know, whatever, some of that, just some background noise that will allow you to calm down a little bit more. And, you know, in some of the other shows, we've, you know, talked about sort of sleep hygiene and the importance of quieting things, and that's the thing that's coming up too. If you're having loud music and loud TV and, you know, different sounds and crashes and bangs on the TV, like, not only is it a noise issue, and I notice that with a lot of my friends that the TV is so loud, it really bothers me, but, you know, that's another thing to get you calmed down and get you in a state of relaxation, whether it's for sleep or to have you in a mood that's right to focus as well.
Yeah, and moving into the home, it's important to find those kind of quiet spaces if you are working on something at home, and maybe finding a way to soundproof an area.
And that's something I don't think we thought of before. And I know I had a client years ago that was renovating her basement, and she was a part-time band member, and she actually did soundproofing in the basement. But not a bad idea if you're doing a renovation and, you know, for anything. And I know there are windows that you can buy that are more soundproof. But again, for most of us that are living in cities and things like that, you know, think about that, you know, how close you are to more popular roads. What will that be looking like as you go on? It might be something you want to consider going forward. You know, one of the simplest tools for sound is sort of the earplug, but, you know, there are some dangers with that as well. So I had a client once who, you know, whose hearing wasn't very good. She didn't use earplugs, but without putting her hearing aids in, she didn't hear the fire alarm when it went off in her building. So similarly, if we have those earplugs in, and I often think about using them in hotels, but I think, okay, if I have those in, then
what am I not hearing?
So, you know, so again, I just go, you know, if I find out the hotel room is too close to the ice machine or the elevator, if I'm not too tired, I may be asking for another room. So it's like, you know, how can you make it more quiet? Maybe your bedroom has always been, you know, at the front of the house, and maybe you want it in the back where it's more quiet. You know, maybe it's just a shut door, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, soundproofing can come in a variety of ways, or, you know, maybe it is a little bit of that background quieter music that's playing in their background. I've got them with waterfalls and birds and things like that. So it is more pleasant, and maybe that replicates the nature that is now proving with research to be so great for us.
Yeah, and I'm throwing back to my dorm room days. We lived in a cinder block dorm, so sort of soundproof, but not really. And my roommate had the great idea of we hung quilts on the walls because it helped warm up the actual room, so we didn't have to crank the heat. And we found that the fabric really was a cheap, fun, easy way. And we both got I had a Pittsburgh Penguins, Sidney Crosby hometown boy, big old blanket, and she had one from Thunder Bay, and we kind of made it a whole thing. So I think there's creative ways.
You think of that, those are acoustic things. I know I've seen buildings in the past that they go back and they're sort of skirting some things in to work with acoustics and things. And even if you just look, even sometimes the little plugs in your wall, sound will travel in with those in the same way. I know we in colder climates have little plugs you put in to keep the air from going. Sometimes even the sound can travel in some of those things as well.
That's
so,
cool.
You know, different things for you to think about. But knowing that overall, you know, to be preventatively really thinking about how those volumes are and those things around the house. And even some of our machinery, we may not think of it, but there are little dull sounds. I know, you know, in my home office, it's very rare that I shut off all the computers, but when I do, it's noticeable what you don't usually see with that. But, you know, many of us have laptops even in our rooms or in different places, and, you know, or different things that we leave running like that. So outside of just the power consumption and things like that, you know, every little hum adds up to something a little bit more.
I think it really says something, you know, when you notice the quiet.
Yeah.
That you're like, okay, maybe I need to start turning things off a little bit more. If there's a marked, there's the silence.
Yeah. And you know, as we are growing up with this age of most of us having earbuds or head things or all of this stuff in, cons are going, all of that, of course, the hearing impairment has gone up as well. So I'm seeing many of my friends getting hearing aids a little sooner than, you know, my parents and that generation would have. So again, for us to be modeling for our children that, you know, it tends when you're younger, the louder the better. So, you know, for us to be having conversations about that and what that, you know, sort of looks like in the house with noise, the same way you wouldn't maybe be looking at energy conservation. Maybe we look at, you know, sort of that sound conservation. I know when I was younger, I would have, you know, the radios going in separately in different rooms and the TV on and things like that as well. And even your tolerance for that as you get older is a little bit less. But just thinking about that and how we can keep our focus, our executive function and all that stuff, not trying to have those things playing in the background that we're using up some of that energy to process, or that it's somehow wearing away on us.
Absolutely. So, you know, you're having this conversation with your family saying, hey, let's be smart about what we're listening to and the volume we're listening to. You're trying to be aware of it at work. And do you think there's a benefit to saying, okay, you know what, I'm taking some time, and if you're able to just get outside of the city and maybe do a work retreat and say, okay, I'm going to go work in the actual woods and try to experience that.
Well, that's what we're seeing with the research that's coming up now, that, you know, we really have a lot to gain by doing that. And, you know, I in my younger days, I would have poo-pooed that a little bit, as much as I probably spent some time out doing some things a little bit more. But I want to intentionally try and add that in. It's like any good health sort of protocol. If we're knowing that it's working for us, what does that look like? And where is the regeneration that comes from that? It's funny, as people get older, there's a natural turn back to nature a lot of the time. But maybe we can encourage that a little bit more with our youth and in schools and things like that. But it's getting more difficult for most of us that are, maybe we're in small cities now, they're getting larger, and it's not as easy to come upon that. But I think that's why, you know, some of the ecotourism, and I know when I did my safari years ago, I chose one that, you know, was more eco, and again, you know, they had generators and they didn't have a lot of the extra stuff, but, you know, the quiet that was there was very shocking for me at the time. I'm hearing the animals at night. I remember that first night and actually, you know, hearing those animals. So it allows us, in one way, we may be taking some things away and unplugging and doing some things, but I think that overall we're going to see some of those benefits coming back in.
You're listening to Organize Anything with Colette Robichaux. We'll be right back on 105.9 Seaside FM. This is Organize Anything with Colette Robichaux on 105.9 Seaside FM.
All right, so moving back into the office from outside nature, what are some things that as conscientious fellow employees we can think about in the office space about how to maybe eliminate our noise distractions from our fellow workers?
Yeah, we need to be, you know, sort of bring that politeness, that thinking, you know, bigger than just us and what our agenda is. It's great to get caught up on the weekend, but, you know, a lot of people aren't maybe getting caught up on the weekend, but getting caught up on some work that has to be done right away. And think about what the sort of lay of the land and geography is in the office. You know, maybe you're standing at the water cooler and there's a couple people close by that are always working. Maybe you're screaming goodbye, or maybe you're, you know, too lazy to get out of your chair to scream for something around the corner. But, you know, think about that. Think about how you could affect other people. And, you know, for some people, like, I know I have a big voice and it carries. I've got to really be careful of that. And that's something, you know, that you should know. Do you have one of those big voices that will carry? Whether you're on the phone in your office or cell phone, we know that on cell phones, the majority of the people speak significantly louder on their cell phone. And again, I don't know what it is about that, but it's just grating when you have to be sort of imposed upon by other people's conversations.
Nothing worse. It's why I think my biggest pet peeve, my number one pet peeve, is being somewhere in public and just wanting to lean over someone and go, hi, I've heard every single thing that's happening in this conversation.
Yeah.
Here's my input because you've decided to involve all of us. And it's, yeah, I don't know what it is. We just all start to speak so much louder.
Yeah. And it, you know, again, that it's proven that we do. So the first step of that is to acknowledge that you could possibly be doing that. Going back to etiquette, to me, you know, should you be taking the call to start with?
Mm-hmm.
Can you move yourself away? I'm always constantly amazed at the people having these conversations and not making any inclination to move away and go somewhere else. And I know that it's everywhere and it's strapped to our hip and us, all that sort of thing, but I think we have to move back a little bit to, you know, some more civility with that. And it's just not helping anyone to be, you know, so talking all the time like that. It's distracting. And again, if you're distracted by hearing the conversation, you might be misstepping to get on the bus, or, you know, if that's the last thing that you're hearing, lining up to get in a line to queue for tickets or an event or something.
And just adds to the hostility. It's
yeah.
You know, you get annoyed, and then you're going to annoy the person you're talking to, and it's a mm-hmm. chain reaction, and no one needs that. But speaking of cell phones, and I know that I'm really bad that my alarms go off on my phone all the time, and I know that that's a distraction to some people. What are some ways you can kind of manage things like that?
Yeah, and often as a professional organizer and coach, I'm helping clients to set up ways to be cued or set alarms or have reminders and things like that. There are also silent alarms, vibrating alarms, things like that. So if we want something, you know, a little quieter, we can get some things that maybe work like that. So vibrate instead of the ring, you know, sort of to acknowledge that sort of thing. I know even just alarm clocks, you can get things that have lights that wake people up. I know there are products that you can have a sort of a vibrating little thing that goes under the bed to shake people or something like that too, you know. So maybe you have two people working shift work and have different things. I hate being woken up to loud ringing, whatever. I had purchased one of those alarm lights that years ago that gradually the sun came out and it just woke me up really, really gently. I don't use it anymore, but it was something that I used for a while, and I just felt like my day started a lot better when I'm waking up to the news of the world, and it's usually
something
not
awful.
That great. Is that the way we want to start? And, you know, more and more people are thinking about sort of that mindful approach to starting your day. It's something that I've leaned into for the last little bit. Instead instead of getting up and running at high speed, I try to take some quiet time in the morning and try and have a little bit of a mindful moment before I get going.
I love that idea of mindful and just taking a minute and being quiet within yourself. Is there other ways that you could suggest maybe the busy professional could find a minute to find a moment?
Yeah, and that's a growing thing now, this sort of mindful practice, if you will. Sounds somewhat formal, but we know that it's just bringing attention to where you are in the moment and getting quiet with yourself and really extricating the background noise that is within us. And when I started to try and do this, it was like, that is impossible. So the more you try, you realize how much brain clutter is actually in there. If I cannot go 2 seconds when I'm trying to do this in silence and make this happen, it shows us what's happening, those pings that are coming into our head. So this is becoming a bit of a health practice. It's allowing kids to focus better. And I think a lot of people are introduced a bit with the yoga movement that is so prevalent. Mm-hmm. That's a bit of that mindfulness that goes with that we're accepting these sort of things of recognizing that quiet and paying attention to the breath that gives that to us. So we could be sitting in a quiet room in the whatever on our pillow and doing that, or we could take that moment in any place. I know I do public speaking and training, and I try to before I go on and my anxiety is going up, really try and take some of those moments now to have a few deep breaths and really let go some of those thoughts in our heads. So again, how does that play into sort of that creating a quiet workplace or a quiet place for us in life? Again, we need to almost be intentional in that. Mm-hmm. So, but we know that out of that quiet and these practices, there's more and more research on the quiet that mindfulness creates for pain management, for sort of just all kinds of things that are rewarding with that come from us taking those moments.
Absolutely. I know that a friend of mine keeps a track of a rotary fan on her phone that uses an iPad, or music player, and she'll sit on the bus, and whenever she's stressed out on the bus, she puts her headphones in and just sits there and goes, okay, here's my moment. She has her moments in the weirdest place, and I love it.
Yeah, and I think that's a key point, Laura, that we are sometimes striving for perfectionism of, oh, well, I will wait until I go to nature and on that retreat, and once a year I'll go wherever it is and sit on the beach and have some quiet. Well, often those aren't as quiet as you think they are, but it's how do we create those quiet moments day to day? So if it's like me saying, instead of watching the news in the morning or listening to the news, I'm going to sit and have my quiet moment and give myself a better foundation for my day before my adrenaline perks up and my cortisol kicks in. And, you know, most of us feel like our bodies are creating things that were meant for when we ran away from the dinosaurs, and we're creating those by the time we're 2 minutes up in the morning. So how do we go away from that and create those moments? So that's great that I can intentionally set that as a way to start my day, which before I would never believe that I could do that. But how do I do that, whether I'm, you know, sitting in traffic just for a moment, or before I do a training session or whatever? How do we capture those moments and bring ourselves back to that? And we're seeing, you know, the research is really allowing us to teach our children to deal better with those emotions. You know, they're great for us to think about the kids that are prone to possibly bullying in school, or some of those aggressions that might be happening, that they are the tools that can be given to them as well to help us to all work together better in the world.
Absolutely. I've heard of some great programming that they're doing in elementary schools that they do things like that. But after recess, when the kids are all hyped up and they've had their exercise, they come in and they don't meditate, but they just take a minute as a class, and they're told to think of something that they're thankful for that day.
Yeah.
And those are great. And so
it is absolutely great. It doesn't have to be in the form of a practice or whatever. And I even had seen recently a three-year-old that was asked to take three deep breaths, and before it might have been the timeout, but to take three deep breaths and think about what just happened, and and this was after he had said to mommy, I can't help it when I get, you know, whatever. And so we see this happening at all levels, and it's great for all of us to think about how we can bring quiet to our workplaces and our home and just to our everyday life, so that I think we all have a lot that we can benefit from just a little quiet.
Absolutely. And on that note, thank you so much for sharing these really great ideas with us. I know I'm going to go home today and kind of find some ways to... And if we have any other questions or anyone else wants to know more, how can they contact you?
They can contact me through my website, Organize Anything, and they can also see lots of other social media sites there, a blog and Twitter, that they can find some tips like this and some newsletters and stories that I tell that will help people quiet their lives and get more out of it that they want.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Colette.